Pride goeth before the fall. Lou. He left without me. I stared into my whiskey, tipping it sideways, pouring it slowly onto the wooden bar. Coco took the tumbler from me without missing a beat in her conversation with Liana. Across the tavern, Ansel sat between Toulouse and Thierry. They all laughed at a joke I couldn't hear. One big, happy family. Except they all stared at me, whispering, like I was a cannon about to explode. And that bastard had left without a word. I don't know what I'd expected. I'd practically doused him in whiskey and lit the match. But I hadn't lied. I hadn't said anything untrue. That's what he'd wanted, right? He'd wanted the truth. "Don't lie to me," he'd said. I shoved away from the bar, stalking to the filthy window up front and staring through its dirt-streaked panes. He should have been back by now. If he'd left when Devereaux said he'd left, when I'd been sulking upstairs in misery, he should have climbed back through the tunnel a half hour ago. Something must have happened. Perhaps he'd found trouble. Do you understand now? Does that make me a monster? No, it makes you your mother. A fresh wave of anger washed over me. Perhaps he had found trouble, and this time perhaps he could sort it out without me, without magic. Breath tickled my neck, and I whirled, coming face to face with Nicolina. When she grinned at me, I scowled. Blood had stained her teeth yellow. Indeed, her paper-thin skin was now her palest feature, brighter and whiter than the moon. I shouldered past her to an empty table in the corner. "I want to be alone, Nicolina."
"Shouldn't be too hard, souris."
She drifted around me, whispering, gesturing to Coco and Ansel, to Blaise and Liana, to Toulouse and Thierry.
"They certainly don't want our company."
She leaned closer. Her lips brushed my ear.
"We make them uncomfortable."
I swatted her away. "Don't touch me." When I plunked down, turning my back to her, she floated to the chair opposite. She didn't sit, however. I supposed wraiths didn't sit. One couldn't look sinister and uncanny with one's ass on a bar stool.
"We aren't so very different," she breathed. "People don't like us either."
"People like me just fine," I snapped.
"Do they?"
Her colorless eyes flicked to Blaise, where he watched me from the bar.
"We can sense his thoughts. Oh, yes. And he hasn't forgotten how you crushed his son's bones. He longs to feast on your flesh, make you whimper and groan."
My own gaze cut to his. His lip curled over sharp incisors. Fuck.
"But you won't whimper, will you?"
Nicolina canted her face closer to mine.
"You'll fight, and you'll bite with teeth of your own."
She laughed then. The sound skittered down my spine and repeated,
"We aren't so very different. For years, our people have been persecuted, and we have been persecuted among even them."
For some reason, I doubted she referred to we as her and me, the two of us. No, it seemed Nicolina wasn't the only one living inside her head these days. Perhaps there were others. "I told you she's weird," Gabrielle had confided. "Too many hearts." My own heart twisted at the memory. Poor Gabby. I hoped she hadn't suffered. Ismay sat at a table with Lavoisin, eyes red-rimmed and glassy. A handful of their sisters joined them. Babette had remained in the blood camp to care for those too young, too old, too weak, or too sick to fight. They hadn't recovered Gabby's body.
"We'll tell you a secret, little mouse," Nicolina whispered, drawing my attention back to her. "It isn't on us to make them comfortable. No, 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 it's not. It's not, it's not, it's not. It's on them."
I stared at her. "How did you become like this, Nicolina?" She grinned again, a too wide grin that nearly split her face in half.
"How did you become like this, Louise? We all make choices. We all suffer consequences."
"I'm done with this conversation." Expelling a harsh breath, I returned Blaze's glare with one of my own. If he didn't blink soon, he'd lose an eye. Nicolina, though clearly demented, was right about one thing. I would bite back. When Terence murmured in his ear, he finally shifted his gaze away from me toward the storeroom door. I tensed immediately.
Had they heard something I hadn't? Had Reed returned? Without hesitating, I curled a finger, and my eyesight clouded. My hearing, however, heightened, and Terence's low voice echoed as if he stood beside me.
Do you think he's dead? The huntsman?
Blaze shook his head.
Perhaps. There is no peace in the human king's heart. Reed was foolish to approach him. If he is dead, when can we leave this place?
Terence cast a sidelong look at Lavoisin and Ismay, at the blood witches around them.
We owe these demons no loyalty.
A twitch started in my cheek. Before I realized my feet had moved, I was standing, pressing my fists against the table. The pattern dissolved.
It seems you owe Reed no loyalty either.
They both looked up, startled, angry, but theirs was a flicker to my rage. Nicolina clapped her hands together in delight. Coco, Ansel, and Claude all rose tentatively.
If you suspect he's in danger, why are you still here?
My voice rose, grew into something beyond me. Though I heard myself speaking, I did not form these words.
You owe him a life debt, you mangy dogs. Or would you like me to reclaim Terence's?
I lifted my hands. Blaze's teeth flashed as he rose from his chair.
You dare threaten us,
Louise,
Claude said, his voice conciliatory.
What are you doing? They think Reed is dead, I spat. They're debating when they can leave us.
Though Lavoisin chuckled, her eyes remained flat and cold.
Of course they are. At the first sign of trouble, they tuck their tails and flee back to their swamp. They're cowards. I told you not to trust them, Louise.
When Liana moved toward the door, I slammed it shut with an easy flick of my wrist. My eyes never left Blaze's.
You aren't going anywhere, not until you bring him back to me.
Snarling, Blaze's face began to shift.
You do not control the Lugaru, witch. We did not harm you for your mate's sake. If he dies, so too does our benevolence. Be very careful.
Lavoisin stepped to my side, hands clasped.
Perhaps it is you who should be careful, Blaze. If you invoke the wrath of this witch, you invoke the wrath of us all.
She lifted a hand, and the blood witches stood as one, at least a dozen of them, four times as many as Blaze, Liana, and Terence, who edged back to back, growling low in their throats. Their fingernails extended to lethal points.
We will leave here in peace.
Despite his words, Blaze met Lavoisin's gaze in open challenge.
No blood must be drawn.
How easily you forget.
Lavoisin smiled, and it was a cruel, chilling thing. When she lowered her collar, revealing three jagged scars across her chest, claw marks, the blood witches hummed with anticipation. And so did I. God, so did I.
We like blood, especially our own.
Tension in the room taut to explode. They stared at each other. Ansel started to step between them, Ansel of all people, but Claude stopped him with a hand on his shoulder.
Stand down, lad, before you get hurt.
To Lavoisin and Blaze, he said,
Let us not forget the grander purpose here. We have a common enemy. We can all play nice until Monsieur Diggory returns, can't we?
With a pointed glance first at Blaze, then at me, he added,
Because he will return.
Not a breath sounded in the long, tense silence that followed. We all waited for someone to move, to strike. At last, Blaze sighed heavily.
You speak wisdom, Claude Devereaux. We will await Monsieur Diggory's return. If he does not, my children and I will leave this place and its inhabitants.
His yellow eyes found mine.
Unharmed. You have my word.
Ah, excellent.
But Lavoisin only smirked.
Coward.
That was all it took. With a snarl, Terence launched himself at her, but Nicolina appeared, seizing his half-shifted throat and twisting. He yelped, flying through the air, and landed at Blaze's feet. Liana had already shifted. She tore after Nicolina. Blaze quickly followed, as did Ansel and Claude, when they realized the blood witches were after, well, blood.
Knives in hand, Ismay and her sisters attacked the wolves' jugulars, but the wolves moved faster, leaping atop the bar to gain higher ground. Though cornered, though outnumbered, Terence managed to knock away Ismay's knife, pinning her beneath his paw. When his other slashed open her face, she screamed. Coco rushed to intervene. And I touched a finger to the whiskey on the bar, just a finger, one simple spark, so similar yet so different from that pub fire long ago. Had it only been a fortnight? It felt like years. The flames chased the whiskey down the bar to where Terence... No, not Terence. I tilted my head, bemused, as the flames instead found another, climbing up her feet, her legs, her chest. Soon she screamed in terror, in pain, trying desperately to draw blood, to claw magic from her wrists. But I only laughed. I laughed and laughed until my eyes stung and my throat ached, laughed until her voice finally pierced the smoke in my mind, until I realized to whom that voice belonged. Coco, I breathed. I stared at her in disbelief, releasing the pattern. The flames died instantly, and she crumpled to the floor. Smoke curled from her clothing, her skin, and she gasped between sobs, struggling to catch her breath. The rest of the room came back in pieces, Ansel's horrified expression, Terence's frantic shout, Ismay's mad dash to find honey. When I stumbled forward to help her, a hand caught my throat.
No closer, Lavoisin snarled, her nails biting into my skin. Enough, Josephine!
Devereaux loomed over us, graver than I'd ever seen him.
Release her!
Lavoisin's eyes bulged slightly as she glared at him, but one by one, her fingers gradually loosened. I sucked in a harsh breath and staggered forward. Coco! But both blood witches and werewolves shielded her as I approached, and I could see little more than her eye above Ansel's arm. He too had positioned himself between us. My breath caught at the hostility in their gazes, at the fear. Coco, I'm so sorry. She struggled to rise. I'll be fine, Lou, she said weakly. It was an accident. You have to believe me. My voice broke on the last, but my heart, it broke at the tears welling in her eyes as she looked at me. She pressed a hand to her mouth to stem her sobs. Coco, please. You know I never would have never intentionally. Behind her, Nicolina grinned. Her inflection deepened, changed as she said,
The Lord doth say, Come, heed him all. Pride goeth before the fall.
The finality of what I'd done cleaved through me, and I heard his voice, felt his soft touch on my hair.
You haven't been yourself.
You see what you want to see.
Do you think I want to see you as
what? As evil? Burying my face in my hands, I sank to my knees and wept.